Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our text today is Genesis 1, 1 through 2. And it's right at the very beginning of your pew Bible. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This morning's text takes us right back to the beginning, literally, of the stories our tradition tells about how the universe, the earth, and the creatures living upon the earth came to be. The verses that came right after the ones that I read, which you're probably very familiar with from Sunday school or even from like popular culture understandings of the Christian creation story, detail a whole lot of separating and categorizing on the part of God. They show God kind of taking dominion over the earth and then directing human beings eventually to do so as well. Light is separated from darkness, day from night, land from sea. It's all been interpreted very often as quite orderly. Yet the beginning, the verse that I read before, is something else entirely. It's chaos that is incubating form. It's the mystery of the void that will somehow bring forth creation. It's a vision of the divine that we don't lift up that often when we tell this story. But if we listen to the void, to the wind sweeping over the waters, perhaps we might imagine this morning a God that is deeper and more complex than the distant and omnipotent creator-father image that our tradition so often offers up to us. In thinking about this sermon this week, which is roughly, in many ways, about God as mother, I watched a video made by the Washington Post featuring school-age children talking about God. And the children were from a number of different religions. They were mostly Christian and Jewish and Muslim, like they were from traditions where there is a God. And it was definitely made from a perspective that celebrated religious diversity. Like they were talking about their own faith traditions kind of in service to an appreciation of one another's. And that is certainly like something that I can get behind celebrating. I noticed, though, and this is somewhat my intention in watching the video was that I was pretty sure I knew what was going to happen, which is that without exception, every one of the children referred to God as he, as a man, and in the case of the Christian children, very often as father. Sort of hilariously and sadly, even the non-theist child who spoke at length about not believing in God, said that she didn't believe in him. And in our church, we more seldomly refer to God as he or as father. Like usually from the pulpit, you probably hear a pastor refer to God with no gendered pronouns. We certainly, and though it's in our liturgy, we certainly don't intentionally refer to God exclusively as he. We pray to our Creator who art in heaven when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We often say Creator, Christ, and Holy Ghost instead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not unusual to hear the preacher sometimes use the pronoun she to refer to God. We, like many progressive Protestant congregations, use what is called inclusive language for God. And although I heard God referred to exclusively as male throughout my childhood, which was in a much more conservative tradition, my entire adult life I've been part of a seminary and of congregations that use inclusive language for God. I have had so much education and practice for using so many different words and thinking about God with a lot of different images. And many of us, me included, would probably say that God is neither a man nor a woman, a father nor a mother, in any kind of essential or embodied sense, that they're metaphors, that God is beyond or aside from all of these human categories. And yet, even with this this theology that I hold on to and all this practice, even still, when I imagine God, I sometimes see an old white man. I'm not so far from those children in the video who compared God to a fatherly Santa Claus. The patriarchal and paternalistic images and ideas of God go so much deeper than language or theology. They can feel embedded in us. And in a sense, they are. They go all the way back to that creator God that is so often interpreted as perfectly in control, all-powerful and all-knowing in Genesis 1. They're reinforced by our religious culture, imagery, and language. Even in progressive churches, there's often the understanding that referring to God as she is a subversive act that operates in relationship to the norm of referring to God as he. God as Father is deeply tied to God as King, Lord, Sovereign, Ruler. Images of God that can be comforting. It can be comforting to rest in God's largeness and power to our smallness. But they can also serve to alienate us from a relationship with God. If we see God as our parent, our perception of her is not just constructed through the way culture and tradition comes to bear on us, but is also transmitted through the experience of having or being parents ourselves. God is not beyond our lived experience. Our images of God are not beyond our lived experience, but deeply interwoven with them from our earliest experiences of being parented. And so thinking about God, meditating on God, in ways that disrupt our patriarchal understandings of God as only ever Father, might change how we engage with our faith and with one another. Talking about God as a mother of us all has the potential to a practice to shift our understanding of God. To allow, and also, as well as shifting our understanding of God, to allow us to see the many, many complex experiences of motherhood that we encounter as human beings, to see them as sacred. For if we are made in the image of God, how would we see ourselves differently, be we men, women, or otherwise gendered, if we imagine God as our mother? The medieval mystic Meister Eckhart wrote, "What does God do all day long? God gives birth. God lies on a maternity bed giving birth." Now, I don't want to say very much about the experience of giving birth because I haven't done it, and I want to live to get outside. I don't want to make any any assertions about what giving birth is like, but I do hear anecdotally that it's very difficult in every, you know, in every sense of the word, that it's like, it is a physical and emotional and psychic, tremendous effort to bring new life into the world. Yeah. And so to imagine a God, our God, who is continually giving birth, not sort of from way above us, separating oceans from land, night from day with mere words, but laboring to bring being from a void, form from formlessness. Perhaps that is a God who might understand the birth pangs of our own joys and sorrows. As we celebrate Mother's Day today, or maybe for some of us as we mourn Mother's Day, or as we hold this day full of feeling, I think that it's a destructive and painful myth that any differentiated or reasonably healthy adult has a relationship with a parent or with God that is simple or easy. That human relationships are not Hallmark cards or Facebook pictures or Instagram feeds. And that in our family relationships, we are not monsters and not saints. And that it's a lie that particularly hurts women to contend that any mothers are so two-dimensional. Many of you know that I also work as a hospital chaplain, a role that has provided me with the opportunity and the honor of hearing the relationship experiences of many parents and many children at times of illness and uncertainty and death. And I can't count the number of times I've heard something along the lines of, "I shouldn't feel this way about my mom, but," or, "I know he's my son, but." There's so much shame around the brokenness we feel in relationships when we are told that they should be cleaner, neater, less fraught with pain or with complication than they almost always are. So imagine a mother God who delights in the moments we make connections or build relationships, but is still learning herself how to sit with the disappointment that her children did not turn out, did not become, are not how she thought they would be. Family relationships, bonds between children and parents, are so often sentimentalized. Roses and marketing from Hallmark and images of happiness. Can we bear a God who meets us in the actual realities of our family lives, even when, perhaps even because, those realities are not so simple or easy? Last week, Pastor Jen preached about how love is not so much a feeling as it is a practice, sometimes a really hard practice. It takes courage to be authentic and honest, to tell real stories about our relationships, including our relationship with God. When we lift up our joys and concerns, our sorrows and celebrations, in each Sunday service, I hear this honesty and authenticity, the embrace of the real. So maybe this day breaks some of our hearts, because some of us have toxic and destructive relationships with our parents. And all we have to bring to God as our parent is our rage. Or perhaps some of us have lost mothers to death, to addiction, to mental illness or abandonment. Maybe others of us feel the pain that never goes away of losing children to miscarriage or stillbirth, to gun violence or suicide. Perhaps some of us ache to be parents, but live in the uncertainty of ever having our own children. Some of us might want to return the children we do have. Or trade in the parents we were given for someone else's. Others of us wish for a relationship with someone, anyone at all, because we feel so alone. We might have experienced regrets piling up, driving the distance between those we love, those we want to love, but struggle to know how to love. We don't know how we will ever close the divide between intention and reality. Some of us have experienced tremendous healing in our family relationships, and we know how hard and slow that work of vulnerability is. We rejoice, and we bear scars that will never fully fade. I believe that God is with us in all of these and every situation. I don't believe that God is just up there reading all the Hallmark cards and Facebook photos people send her. That she wants wholeness for all of us. Understanding that this is not just bestowed upon us, and heartbreakingly is not even perhaps always possible, but comes through the hard birthing process that transforms hurt and pain into healing and connection through that practice of love, through the God in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen.